Paul O'Sullivan, Zondo Commission is out. Number 5 and 6. That's it. That's the end of the official investigation.
Yeah. I guess that's the end of it. You know, I've been looking at the media and some people comment about they missed this and they missed that and they missed the other. But for me, the biggest part that they missed, having spent probably well over 100 million rand of taxpayers' money, probably more, on the investigations and witnesses they led in respect of the criminal justice system. And that's the money that they spent. Now, probably another 100 million rand was spent by state attorney's office, because every person that was cited in the criminal justice system, for example, a whole lot of generals, a whole lot of prosecutors, all those people were given notices to attend the Zondo Commission. And for the most part, only two or three of them actually attended. But the rest of them had to prepare affidavits. And they all went and got free lawyers to assist them in preparing those affidavits. And then a lot of those cases, those people responded with lies. They put lies under oath. And everyone says, oh, you know, they're getting away with it. I'm saying they should be charged with perjury because they've lied through their teeth. Now, some of them, they didn't actually get on the stand at all. But I've seen their affidavits because some of these disingenuous individuals, people like Tory Pretorius and Michael Mashuka from the NPA, and then people like Lucky Montana, well, he got on the stand and made a complete fool of himself. Mm. But these people lied through their teeth, and they lied. The lies that they put to the Zondo Commission of such a nature that they cast aspersions on people like myself, Anne Dramat, Robert McBride, Johan Boysen. You know, they tried to paint us as being the real criminals and they as the innocent parties being victimized for doing their job. Meanwhile, they were actually...
But you'd expect that, Paul. I mean, these are people who are trying to put their point of view. I think the real point here, though, and you've been beating on this drum for a while in previous interviews of ours as well, is if the criminal justice system is omitted from investigation, then it's almost like the core of the apple, which is rotten, will be allowed to continue.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. In fact, we took. I think I opened a docket in October 2012. In May 2012, I wrote to Yusuf Abramji. He was then the, I don't know what you call it, chairman or president or whatever of the Pretoria Press Club. So we notified the media about. The expression state capture didn't exist then. We just said that there were a group of individuals, and we named them. Richard and Luli we saw as being at the top end of it. And we named Richard and Luli, Nomkhobo Jiba, Lawrence Mwebi. We named those three, and we named a few others as well, Prince Mokotedi. We named them and we opened a docket after we pointed out that what they were doing was they were trying to take control of the criminal justice system for nefarious reasons. Now, as I've said, the expression state capture didn't exist then. But we then in 2015 or 2016, I think it was, we published a report together with AfriForum called Joining the Dots. Now, that report was quite damning because the report set out chapter and verse as to how state entities in the criminal justice system had been taken control of. And we named SARS, the investigative capability of SARS, the criminal investigation side of SARS, which in itself is a law enforcement agency because, mm-hmm. you know, the people are armed, they, They've got customs officers and whatnot. They're part of the law enforcement agency. We named them. We named the DPCI, or Hooks, as we colloquially call them. And we named the police, and we named the National Prosecuting Authority. And we didn't just name them. We named the individuals that were involved in the taking over. By that stage, we were calling it capture, I think. But we named the people that were involved in capturing these entities. And we were able to draw a line back. We could see that the big plan started back in 2012. So the conception, if you like, was that you must get control of all the criminal justice system, because once you've got control of the criminal justice system, then you're free to loot the country. And that's exactly what happened. They took control of the criminal justice system, and then they literally gutted or eviscerated all of these state-owned businesses. For example, Prasa, Transnet, SABC, South African Airways, all of the Denel, all of these companies were raped and robbed by these criminal syndicates. Nobody was able to do anything about it. And the reason nobody was able to do anything about it was because the criminal justice system was being controlled by Zuptoids. And we named them. And in the case of the National Prosecuting Authority, it was Sean Abrahams, who was illegally appointed. We pointed out right at the beginning that he'd been illegally appointed. Michael Hulley gave him his job on the condition that he had to report to Michael Hulley. And Michael Hulley was the middleman between Sean Abrahams and Jacob Zuma. Now, Michael Hulley was Jacob Zuma's lawyer, also paid for by the taxpayer, by the way, you know. So the public funds paid Michael Hulley. And Michael Hulley's name, I don't think it appears anywhere in the Sondag Commission report. He should have been arrested and charged.
Sean Abrahams should have. Yeah, what about the rest of them? And that's really the point of this discussion. They weren't in Zondo 5 and 6, or were they? Were any of those names that you named back then in?
You don't find any proper investigation. I received letters. I wanted to apply. In fact, I did. I brought applications. Myself and Sarah Jane spent 2 years, or 2.5 years, putting documents together for the Sondag Commission. We handed to them on a plate some of the best witnesses they ever had, even though they might be criminals, people like Angelo Agrissi. He approached us in October 2017. We packaged them up and handed them over to the Sondag Commission. And he put his stuff out there. He testified under oath, and he named and shamed all the people. In fact, he was involved in so much corruption, he'd even lost track of where he took the bags and how he took the bags of money too. You know, if you have one act of corruption that you're involved in, it's something that you're going to remember. But he was carrying so many bags of money here, there, and everywhere else. Fortunately, at some point in time, he decided to get an insurance policy and started getting evidence. He was making videos and taking photographs. So he was actually able to prove some of the allegations he was making, where they walk into a walk-in vault and the cash was stacked up high. Well, all those issues have been nicely aired in the Sondag Commission. But I wanted to interview people like Lucky Montana. I wanted to cross-examine him on the lies that he was putting out at the Sondag Commission. He accused me of sending people with balaclavas to rob his house. Absolute rubbish. Complete pack of lies. I wanted to unpack all of that. And I also wanted to cross-examine Tori Pretorius. I wanted to cross-examine Michael Mashuka, because I wanted to cross-examine some of these generals that were involved in raiding my offices and got up on the Sondag Commission stand and lied through their teeth. So when I put in all these applications saying I want to cross-examine them, they delayed replying to me. And then they told me I must come there I forget what day it was now, sometime last year in August or September. and I must be there to have my and argue my applications. And they wanted me to get a lawyer. And I said, why should I get a lawyer? You're providing free lawyers to all the accused persons, but nobody's providing me with any lawyers. Why must I spend my money to come and tell these criminals what they've been up to? So I said, I'm not going to be represented. I'm going to represent myself. And they kept delaying and they wanted me to come there. So I went to all the trouble of coming there, arranging bodyguards and everything, because they were telling all these criminals I was going to be there. So I arranged all the bodyguards and everything at my own expense. And then I arrange to come there. And an hour before I'm due to appear, they tell me, no, there's no need for you to come now. We're going to write to you. So I didn't go through. I got letters in November or October 2021. And the letters effectively said words to the effect of, we've decided not to report on the criminal justice system. They call it the law enforcement thread. They call it a thread or activity. They said they're not going to report on those, and therefore there's no need for me to cross-examine all these individuals. So my big problem then was, if they're not going to report on it, why did they parade them all in front of the Sondo Commission? Weeks and weeks and weeks were wasted. A whole work stream, I think that's the expression they use, a whole work stream was created to deal with the criminal justice system. Millions and millions and millions of rand were spent on dealing with the criminal justice system, and yet there are no findings. There are no report that says the criminal justice system was captured. It was the precursor to state capture, because these guys realized that if you had people like Anwar Dramat sitting in their offices and good, decent cops at high level rank, at general level within the DPCI, if you had those people sitting in their offices, the first thing they would do when they saw what was going on with state capture is go out with their handcuffs and pull a few of them in. Well, none of that happened. And the reason none of it happened was because criminals were running the criminal justice system. You had Paklani, Klemersa, Sean Abrahams, and Sean Abrahams is a criminal, and I invite him to sue me if he wants to. Tory Pretorius, Lochobo Jeeba, Lawrence Mwebi, so that was the NPA. And then you had all these criminals in the police who surrounded themselves with criminal generals, and then we're surprised that no action was ever taken. We were opening dockets as far back as 2012. You can read about it in our book. It's sitting there behind me. There it is, right there.
There it is. Well, you don't have to read about it. You can go and watch the video, which has now got more than 100,000 views from that evening that we had together at Exclusive Books. But Paul, you don't let a bone lie. You're like a dog with a bone. Are you going to let this one go now that the Zondo Commission has said all of these alleged criminals, as you call them criminals, I guess we call them alleged because we don't know for sure. Are you going to let them just carry on their merry way, or have you got a plan of action that you're implementing?
No, we actually absolutely have a plan of action. I've been in close communication with Shamila Batawi and Andrea Johnson. These are very good people. They're ethical people. They're not puppets being played by any political party or any political individual. They understand what their functions are. And we've been working very closely with them. And my problem now at the moment is the police service is rotten to the core. The DPCI is now being led by General Lebeya, but there are people below him that need to be chased out of their jobs. So there is a lot of cleaning up to be done. And if Sondo Commission are abandoning the investigation of the criminal justice system, then I guess what we need is we need a judicial commission of inquiry to get all this stuff out into the open. And we might even bring an application for a judicial commission of inquiry so that we can get to the bottom of these things. I make the point 100 times in the last 6 months, and I make the point again today, that if we had a properly working, functioning criminal justice system between 2012 and today, state capture would never have been possible, because the people would have been arrested, the Guptas would have been arrested, all of these slime people that were taking kickbacks, they would have all been behind bars. You wouldn't have seen people like Sean Abrahams leapfrogging competent prosecutors to become the NDPP. You wouldn't have seen people like Anwar Dramat and Shadrach Sabir and Johan Boysen being kicked out of the DPCI. You wouldn't have seen people like Paklani being put in charge of the police. And I'm saying we need inquiry, not only to understand what happened, but to investigate every single appointment at the rank of brigadier and above in the police service and the DPCI in the last 10 years to make sure that the sleepers that have been planted by Suma are got rid of. And we know there's plenty of them there. Those sleepers need to go. The sleepers in the prosecution service need to be identified and need to be got rid of. And Sondo Commission, which we were hoping was going to be the great exposer of all this, they didn't do anything. All they did was allow some of these criminals to get up there and lie through their teeth at taxpayer expense with free lawyers. They could have saved a couple of hundred million rand. You know, we talk about Lucky Montana. Lucky Montana has been thumbing his nose at this country for the last 7 years. We opened a docket in 2015. I think it was in September 20. It's nearly 7 years. It's 6 years and 10 months since we opened that docket. That docket is on our website. It contains prima facie evidence of the crimes he committed. Those crimes were aired again in front of the Sondo Commission, and the report released now patently shows that our investigation was bang on the mark. And yet, in the last 7 years, nothing has happened. He's got scot clean away with it. We were able to save Prasa 300 million because Prasa were about to pay 300 million of the billions that they'd already paid to Siangena Technologies. We brought an urgent application to stop them from paying any more money back in 2015. They didn't pay the money. They stopped. So we saved 300 million. That cost me over 180,000 rand to bring that application. I've not got anybody saying, oh, well done, Paul, you've saved 300 million. There's your 180,000 rand fees. I gave all our files to Werksmans, and Werksmans had those tenders set aside by the High Court. So, you know, we've done all those things. Werksmans get paid, I believe, somewhere in the region of 100 million rand in fees. We've never been paid a cent for the things that we've done to save this country money. And I'm really, really not upset, but I'm really sad that we had an opportunity to expose the faults in the criminal justice system and we haven't done it.
Compelling argument, Paul O'Sullivan, Forensics for Justice, which is a non-profit organization funded primarily by him and hopefully more members of the BizNews community after this conversation. I'm Alec Hogg for BizNews.com.